What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday. It's Bert Kreischer. This is the Bertcast. I know this sounds crappy. I left all my equipment at home. Go to BertBertBert.com. Check out tour dates. Buy a t-shirt. Enjoy.
This is the Bertcast.
All right. Yeah,
I think
Gary uses it.
Who does?
My producer.
Oh, you do? You guys do?
I think he uses that sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, I use it now. It's pretty. It works pretty good. I'm actually pretty happy with it. We're talking to Allison Rosen, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Your new best friend.
That's right. I'm excited to be here in the man cave that I've heard so much about.
I love that you fucking emailed me, and you were like, I'm listening to your podcast. I'd love to do it. I was like, one of the hardest things is getting guests.
Good.
I'm afraid to reach out to people because I feel weird.
See, and I feel weird doing what I did with you, which is like... essentially asking if I can be on the podcast, because my thought is always, well, if they want me on their podcast, they'll just ask.
No, that's not how it works.
Keep that. That's
think about it like
mind,
this.
Though.
Doug Benson, yeah. I'm friends with. I've been talking to on Twitter like just recently, but now I say this, everyone's going to be like, just fucking ask him. But it's like, I feel weird because I know he's busy. Mm-hmm. I felt really weird asking you because I was like, well, you are busy as shit. Like, you really are. You've got your podcast. You got Corollas. You're fucking swamped. I was like, I don't want to fucking bother her because I'm only home 2 days a week usually.
Right.
And then if I call and I'm like, hey, can you fit into my schedule and drive to my house? But I appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate it.
You could say it like, hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast if you ever have time.
I did that. I've done that to a few people, and then everyone's always like, yeah, I'd love to. You know, I have a really busy schedule, and mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I don't want to hound them. I just go, right. Fuck it. But I had such a great conversation with you when I did your podcast that was so seamless that I was like, I was sincerely, that's what I wanted my podcast to be like.
Oh.
Like when I did your podcast.
Thank you. I think it is.
Well, we didn't have to talk like, I didn't feel like I had to be funny. I felt like I could just be myself, but mm-hmm. it was still funny.
Yeah.
Like I listened to our podcast, your podcast when I was on it. I listened to that like 3 or 4 times.
So I have a new segment that I'm doing on my show now called Fan Phone Call. It's actually an old segment. When I used to do a Ustream show out of my living room when I lived in Brooklyn. It was called Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend, which is the name of my podcast, but it was different format. But I have taken elements of that show and brought them into the podcast. So Fan Phone Call, people would send me their phone number and then we'd pull them out of a double boiler. I don't know why we use a double boiler.
What's a double boiler?
A double boiler is, it looks like a pot with a pot that sits on top of it. And
it's for like heating up chocolate?
Yes, exactly.
I know exactly what it is as soon as you explain it.
Have you ever tried to heat up chocolate not in a double boiler though?
Yes, it's impossible.
Yes.
And then you go, well, it's starting to knot up on me. I'll just pour a little milk in.
Yeah. Oh, you're totally fucked at that point. Yeah. So I think.
You might as well just throw your fucking pot away because you're not going to clean your pot.
Exactly.
It's burning. It's caking onto the sides.
Yeah. It seems like it should work though. It shouldn't be that difficult. Well, so anyway, I'm trying to remember how I got this double boiler. I think that I had a relative who had passed away and we were like in her kitchen kind of going through her stuff, and I saw a double boiler and I'm like, this is that thing that I need if I'm ever going to melt chocolate. But I never have.
You can just take a pot, boil water, and then put like a steel pot on top of that and that'll boil chocolate. That'll melt chocolate.
Smart.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, I ended up using it as sort of a, look at this kitschy receptacle for the phone numbers. And on the show, you know, we'd pull out numbers and then call people, and like half the time they answer and half the time they don't. And that was sort of the fun of it on, you know, when it was a visual show.
Yeah.
When it was on Ustream video. So anyway, I've brought that into the show now. We don't pull the numbers out of anything wacky, but we still randomly call people for Fan Phone Call. And the woman that I was speaking with yesterday for Fan Phone Call said that her favorite episode ever of my show was the one that you were on.
Really?
And she listened to it more than once.
I listen to good episodes more than once. Like, I listen to either that or I listen to episodes that people talk about me on more than once.
Yeah.
I'm obsessive about that. Like, really? if someone's like, dude, you should hear what they said about you on this. I get it's something, even if it's good or bad. I recently stopped. Here's the thing. Like, I had this feeling. I was like, you know, if I don't read it on the internet, if I don't read it,
it doesn't exist. I know.
It's so great. It's the greatest feeling to know if. So I just stopped reading my at replies, like, almost entirely. And
really?
Then I read them when I wake up because I figure, fuck it, it's a nice way to wake up. And I reply to, like, the first, like, whatever, like, five or recent. And I'll be like, you know, tell them whatever information they need. And I'll check it from time, but I don't look at it the way I used to. I used to be obsessive and be like, and it's always usually, like, 98% good. But, man, that 2% fucking kicks in the dick.
I know. See, that's – I've stopped going to message boards.
I've never went to a message board in my life. I didn't know – I never understood message boards. To this day, I don't understand how they work in the sense that I know that, like, you need to register.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was always – I did one message board. It was – I want to say it is an alternative comedy message board that someone said I needed to get on, and I forget the name of it. But I signed up, but I gave my real name. Because I was like, well, of course, that's who I am.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, I'm never going to remember, like, Zany Boy 235. Like,
right.
I'm only going to remember Bert Kreischer. Uh-huh. So I put in Bert Kreischer, and then I was like, well, I don't want to fucking post anything. People know I fucking wrote it. And then I was like, oh, I fucked this up. But I never understood. It's like general, and then today's show or something. Like,
yeah, there's different topics.
Yeah. Did you used to read message boards?
Yeah, I used to read. Yeah, I used to. Well, I used to do what so many of us do, which is just Google my name and then go look.
Did you ever Google your name and then Google the thing you were afraid people were calling you and then seeing if that showed up?
I'm trying to think if I've ever done that.
Like, that's what I would do. I would type in Bert Kreischer and then start writing the word of the thing I was afraid people were saying, like, hack or not funny or, like, sucks. Or those are bland ones. Of course, I could get more specific, but I won't because people start typing that in. And then they wouldn't come up and be like, thank God.
Yeah.
That's my fucking one fear.
I think a long time ago I did type in Alison Rosen fat because that's my – because I used to be pretty heavy. So
wait,
that's,
how heavy?
There was a lot of me. I mean, I don't – like, I, you know, the less than 200 but not that much less.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
Mm-hmm.
How old?
I mean, I was a chubby kid.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that weight as a kid.
Jewish?
But, yeah.
Okay.
I was a chubby kid, and then my weight went up and down. I mean, the first diet I ever went on was the summer in between 6th and 7th grade. I lost 20 pounds.
What the fuck is it like to diet in sixth grade?
It was hard because I had to, like, I'm not someone who eats a ton. I'm someone who has a shitty metabolism. And I know that people don't believe that exists, but to them I say, fuck you, it does exist. In the same way that there can be someone who's a beanpole and who's like, I can eat whatever I want and nothing sticks. There are people who are.
If those people exist, then the opposite has to.
Right. There are people who it's just like their body. Their body equilibrium is kind of heavy, you know?
Yeah.
So, although it has gotten better as I've gotten older. But yeah, in sixth grade, my dad's a doctor, so he kind of monitored it because he was worried about just the idea of here's this kid who's eating, I think it was like 600 calories a day or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because to put that in perspective, I was on a diet recently. I lost like 35 pounds.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. My diet wasn't even a diet. It was a cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
I did a cleanse where I did a juice in the morning. I've talked about this ad nauseum. It's called the Clean Program. Juice in the morning with some proteins and stuff. Snack like a rice cake with almond butter, then lean protein and green for lunch, snack with like almond butter and rice cake, and then juice at night, and then in between the two. But that we're talking juice, and then nothing, and then a little tiny meal, and that was like 1,200 calories.
Yeah.
Like 600 calories is fucking nothing.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's when I was a kid. Now it's not.
You still diet?
I diet constant. I mean, it's constant. I'm like, but here's the thing. I feel like every woman says that. Like, I feel like that's just what it is to be a woman is to have Well, I'm sure there's exceptions. I don't think this is a healthy way to be. It just is how I am. I mean, my
mood, has to be.
My mood is affected so much by stepping on the scale. And it's like, if it's 2 pounds up, then I feel like a bad person. And if it's low, then I'm like, oh, but like, I feel like I just won the lottery. And I mean, it's, I'm constantly counting calories and constantly thinking about it. And it just kind of is my way of
it
being.
It sucks. Are you afraid to have kids because of that?
Actually, no. Although I want, well, here's the reason why I'm not. I'm not someone who is comfortable wearing really form-fitting clothes, or like, even though I've lost the bulk of the weight, I'm not someone who's like, you know, I'm going to show off my body. I still am not, you know, entirely comfortable like in my skin. So I like to put stuff on top of my skin, like clothing. So it's not like,
so
oh,
you're
shit.
Not a naked walker around the house person.
Actually, I am.
Really?
Yes. that's the funny thing. I'm totally fine, like, being naked, walking around the house and having my boyfriend who I live with see me that way. It's just that, I mean, I don't present myself to the public wearing a, like bare midriff. So in that way, it's not like, oh no, what'll happen when I lose my figure if I have a kid. But what I am afraid of is the idea that I might be like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to gain weight anyway. I may as well just eat whatever I want. And then it'll be like 80 pounds later, you know?
Well, no, I think that's I mean, I don't know. My wife's one of those people that she just ate whatever the fuck she wanted anyway. She didn't care. She was like, whatever. But when she got pregnant, I was like, fuck. We're allowed to eat ice cream like in the middle of the night. Like, this is fucking great. And I gained a dickload of weight. I weighed 186 when I met my wife. Mind you, I had worked out hard as shit to get to 186. I was doing spin class like twice a day and eating nothing. But being healthy, but I was also drinking like a fish. But then my wife got pregnant. I fucking ballooned up. I was like, that does it. Mm-hmm. And then it took it up until recently for me to lose the weight, because I was like, I also didn't care. It's like, as a male comedian, it was okay. It's okay to be 245.
Yeah.
You're almost funnier at 245 than you are at 200. Because at 200, if I rip my shirt off on stage, which I happen to do a lot, it's like, now it's like not that funny. It's like, okay, we get it.
Right.
You kind of work out, but you're not in great shape. Like that. Yeah. But when you're 245, you do it. Everyone's like, look at that fat fuck.
Right. Well, it's like, I did Doug Benson's Movie Interruption podcast.
I'm so bad on that show, by the way. I am so fucking bad.
Are you talking about Doug Loves Movies, or are you talking about
Doug Loves Movies? I've never done Doug's. I mean, I'd be even worse on Doug's Interruption. You did Doug's Interruption show?
No. Okay, so he has the Benson Interruption, which is stand-up comedians.
That's what
he
I'm thinking of.
Them. No, I did the Movie Interruption, which is where he invites four guests to watch a movie with him, and there's a whole audience watching the movie, and then you interrupt the movie. So, like, you make jokes during the movie.
Yeah.
And we did Love Actually, and it was me, Doug, Rory Scovel, and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And
first of all, I will say this. Rory Scovel is one of the very few people that I've heard on a podcast and fallen in love with. And then did I talk to you about this or something?
No, I don't think so.
And then I actually ran into him at UCB one night and pulled him aside as a fan and was like, you're fucking amazing on Todd Glass's podcast. I would listen. I was traveling through Europe on trains at some, doing something, I forget, but I was bored, and I had bought a first class ticket because I was afraid to sit in coach, because I was just like, I was panicked. Last time I sat in coach, I robbed a fucking train. So I just was like, fuck it, I'll sit in first class. So I bought a first class ticket. I was by myself. So I just put my iPod on and listened to him. Rory Scovel had me laughing hysterically. And Zach is one of the fucking hands down quickest dudes in the world. So it's you, Zach, Rory Scovel.
Zach is,
Doug, who I don't care what anyone says. Not that anyone would ever say this. Doug, seriously, is one of the fastest fucking comic wits I've ever hung out with.
I know. And it's crazy because pot does not affect his speed at all.
No, not at all.
And maybe there's a lot of people where that's the case, but I'm certainly not one of them. I mean, I'm stoned, which I haven't been in a long time because I just don't enjoy it. I'm like, this is what it would be like to be really dumb. This must be the experience of being really stupid.
I think I would be in that moment, and I would be assessing how much I wasn't talking.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to enjoying it.
Right. Well, anyway, Zach made a joke that I had been thinking of making, And this is during the movie interruption.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that then I had Rory on my show, and I think he might have said that he had been thinking of making it too. And
I listened to you and Rory.
Oh, you did? Okay.
On yours, that's where I'm fucking. Okay, keep going, keep going. Yeah. I don't remember this, but keep going.
And so anyway, what it was Zach took a like bag of M&Ms or something and held the microphone near it, and then for the longest time was just opening, like he was being that person who's opening hard candy at the movies, you know. But for the longest time, so it became funnier and funnier, just all the crinkling, and then he like ate one and just went, but he just dragged it out. Yeah. And it was hilarious. But I had actually been thinking of doing that as well, and it occurred to me, for some reason, I think that it's much funnier if Zach does it than if I do it. And that's to the point of what you're saying about how if you're at 2:45, maybe people thought you were funnier. You didn't say that exactly.
No, yeah, no, right, no. Thing,
like, somehow if I make that joke, it's like I think people don't quite know how to take it, whereas with Zach, you know – or maybe they're just familiar with him and not familiar.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Zach did something on radio one time. I hate to – fuck. I don't mind. I'm so self-conscious of talking about other people on this show because so many people obsess about talking about anyone. But
yeah.
I will say – Zach did something on radio one time that I thought was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. They called in for a radio interview, and they called and someone answered the phone. And they were like, hello? And they're like, yeah, we're calling for Zach Galifianakis. This is on air.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, he's like, who? And they're like, Zach Galifianakis. And he's like, hold on. And he goes, Zach! And then all of a sudden you hear a chainsaw, like aggressively. And you hear Zach going, who is it? And it's like, I don't know. And he's like, come on, move this home. I can't talk. Like, but it's Zach. And then he turns the chainsaw off and you could just, I mean, it was just so visually, I was lost. I was in this little theater of comedy that he had created in my brain. And he's like, hello. And they're like, Zach, hey, it's, you know, whatever. We're calling in. We have a phone interview. And he's like, I'm building a treehouse. And they're like, excuse me? He's like, I'm building a treehouse right now. And this starts up the chainsaw. And they're like, Zach, Zach. It wasn't a bit they had rehearsed, but it was a bit he was doing to them.
Right.
That I was like, that consistently to the point where I was like, that is such the idea that like the closest thing I've ever come to doing to being not even that funny, but like the closest thing I've ever done to anything like that, I was doing when you do the morning tours for your hour special,
mm-hmm.
you have to do 4 minutes and 4 minutes, 4 minutes. And one morning my daughter walked in and she was like, daddy. And I was like, hey baby. And they're like, is that your daughter? And I just went like this. I went, shut up. And I go, yeah, she's, don't worry. She won't be a problem. But they didn't think it was funny. They were like, Did you hit your kid? And I was like, no, I'm joking. Like, but you're like,
they didn't realize it was
but when
joke
Zach
they,
does it,
yeah.
they didn't get it. But right. then when Zach does it, you're like, you get it. I know
yes.
what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is that though? Is that because of the personality he's cultivated, or is that the way he looks? Is it the way he sounds?
I think in knowing
it.
Zach, the small amount that I do, and I only say that I've known him for a very long time, but I don't hang out with him the way a lot mm-hmm. of those dudes do. I don't hang out with anybody. I don't have any friends. I have fucking like three friends. but it's just called being a grown up. I'm always shocked.
Yeah.
And these guys have like fucking 40 friends. I'm like,
I know.
Wait, don't you hang out with your wife and kids? Like right. the closest thing I have to friends is this podcast. This is the best thing that ever happened to me because I'm fucking hanging out with a ton of people. So, but Zach, I think everything in Zach's life is a fucking joke. I think he sees everything as fucking hilarious. I remember when I first met him, he was staying at the Gramercy Park Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And me, him, and Nick Swardson and some girls went up to his room. And he took me on I think we got high, but he took me on a very extensive tour of his room. like he was like I remember at one point we were standing in the bathroom and he was explaining how great that bathroom was. And I was high. He was high as shit. And I remember sitting there going, is he fucking with me? Like, am I supposed to be earnestly believing that this is the best? The reason this is the best bathroom is because it's got a bottle opener in it. Because he kept saying, it's got a bottle opener. Like, it's got a fucking bottle opener. I was like, yeah, yeah. I think this is almost pre-Zach with the beard.
Yeah.
So like, but yeah, everything he does, in my opinion, he's someone that woke me up out of a dead sleep. I was listening to him on Nerdist, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe Nerdist. And he was talking about going to the Getty with his brother, and they took mushrooms. And he was reading a sign that he said, why shouldn't you touch the marble? And I fucking... That's all he said. And I woke up. I literally got up out of bed and started laughing hysterically. Yeah. Those moments for me are like, right. But there's things like, you know, that people can say and you can get away with. And Adam had that drama like recently when his book's coming out, you know, in a weird way, he kind of came out fucking unscathed. I'm sure he dealt with it emotionally, but like he kind of fucking, like, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I looked at it and I was like, he kind of walked right through it. And he was like, he walked over the coals and went, my feet are fine. Yeah, I definitely walked on fire, but my feet are fine. Mm-hmm. Like, there are dudes who can say things and just kind of get to the other side. And you don't have to worry about it. Like, I mean, I really thought that was going to happen with Tracy Morgan when he did the stuff about the gay son.
Yeah. But it seems like, yeah, sometimes there's this discrepancy between how much we all worry and how much anything ever affects anyone ever. Like, I realize this just in life sometimes that I fret over the tiniest little thing and I think, oh, God, and then I look at someone else who did something that was really, and I'm not talking about anything that we had just talked about.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone
yeah.
else who did something, someone who's, yeah, who does something more egregious, and I'm like, their life has not been affected at all.
I look like, at, what I'm does it shocked. Take? I'm shocked by that. Like, I'm shocked at dudes who can cheat on their wives and not.
I know.
Like, I'm like, I would be a mess.
Yeah.
I would be a fucking mess. Like, I look at, you know, I think sometimes, like, I had a bad set a long time ago. I had a bad set. I have a great manager right now. I used to be represented by a guy that was a great manager too. He was great at, like, sizzling down all the shit that you were worried about. Mm-hmm. Like, he was great at dealing with messes. That's what he was. All his clients were, and still to this day, are all fucking hot messes.
Right.
Fucking all of us were and still are wrecks of men. Fucking looking for some father figure that I don't know what it is. But I remember having a bad set for an ISAM showcase, and I was crushed. I'd had the first showcase I ever did, I got a deal out of. The second showcase I ever did, I got a deal out of. Third showcase, I bombed. And I remember for like 2 days, I was fucked up. I was like, I bombed. I mean, like, what the fuck? I bombed. Yeah. And I remember he called me. Barry Katz, I'll tell you who he is. He's a great guy.
I wondered if that's who it was when you said that.
Every one of his clients are messes.
Well, just because I know of him as someone who dispenses advice a lot.
He does.
And I know that basically just through Jay Moore's podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So Barry said to me, he goes, you know, it's really funny how much you think people think about you. And I went, what? And he goes, I think you're highly overestimating how much people are thinking about you. He goes, can I ask you a question? Who have you been thinking about all day? And I was like, me. And he goes, So have they.
Yeah.
All anyone does is think about themselves. So like all these things where you go like, I can't believe, like, I obsess about shit aggressively. Like, I'm almost obsessive compulsive about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I get into like I'm saying this, I'll have a bad dream and then I'll wake up from the dream and I'll fight with the person I had the dream about.
Yeah.
Even if they're imaginary, I'll still fucking go at it with that person. But that's gotta be crazy, right?
Do you mean as you're waking up, you'll still do it?
I had a dream.
Fully awake,
laying in bed.
Well, do you think that maybe you had the dream because you actually had some beef with him?
I've had dreams about imaginary people, like people that are completely and totally aren't even real, that broke into my house and did something. And then in the tail end of the dream, I captured them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up and I finish that dream. And I'm like, fuck that guy. Like, and I completely go, like, literally lay in bed. And then I'm like, this is not healthy behavior.
Yeah.
Like, a grown-up should not be laying in bed. I mean, I do a lot of shit a grown-up shouldn't do, I guess.
We all do, though. Who do you know who's, or maybe it's just people we know, but who do you know who's like truly acts like a grown up?
I don't know. Do you think that all grown ups, like,
that's what I've been wondering lately. Is adulthood just an illusion? Because I certainly don't feel like an adult. I'm not married and I don't have kids, though. So I expect that'll be some kind of jolt of adultness. I don't know. But, I don't feel fully formed at all. All the things that I expected to magically happen when I grew up, not exactly happened.
Yeah.
And when I talk about that with other people, you know, who are our age or who are, you know, quote unquote adults, they say that as well. I don't know. I wonder if my parents feel like adults. Because that's who I'm, you know, it's the generation thing. I feel like the generation before us acted a little more like adults. Maybe that's just because I looked at them when I was a kid.
Well, I think they also had different, I mean, they had different expectations. I think they're in a weird way, like I was kept a child as long as possible because my dad could, the longer I was a child, my dad, I had health insurance. So like my dad tried to keep me a child, like stay in school, right. Do that. Like, so right. I stayed in school for as long as I possibly could. And then I got out and I jumped into stand-up. I don't think any fucking stand-ups have grown up.
Yeah.
But having said that, like I hung out with Jim Brewer one night and he had his shit together. Like he was like, yeah, I'm going to go home and go to bed. And you're like, huh? I was like, wait, I was like, we can go party our balls off right now. Our wives are at home. Our kids are at home. It's just me and you. And for a second, I saw him like, well, Bert, we're... And then he was like, fuck it, let's go get a bottle of wine. So that was like our cutoff. And then pizza showed up and he was like, let's eat pizza. And then we're like, fuck it, let's, you know, like, but I feel like that little, I consistently feel like a child. When I drop my kids off for school, I always look at these people and I go, that's an adult. They're adults. Mm-hmm. They're dudes in suits. And I'm sitting here in a fucking, this is what I dropped my kids off at school. I haven't changed, by the way. Uh-huh. I'm wearing old Sebagos, the old fucking L.L. Bean shoes. I'm like dressing like a child. I find things that remind me of my childhood and I buy it right away.
Yeah.
Like those old football school pencils. Remember football pencils? They said the team of the football. I just bought them. About fucking 20 because I was like, that reminds me of when I was a kid. I'm fucking doing it.
They are like number two pencils, right?
They're right here.
They have the lettering in gold foil.
This is, oh shit, that can't be good. This is the pencil.
Yes, I do remember these. Oh, yeah. How funny.
So, but like, I don't know. Like, I think the closest I feel to being an adult is when I drink sometimes, I guess.
Why?
Because I don't know. That seems like a manly thing to do. Have a glass of whiskey. You know, at the end of the day, oh, yeah. I guess I'll have a whiskey.
I feel like an adult when I go to the gynecologist. Not really. I mean, yes, but.
How old were you when you first started going to the gynecologist?
Oh, gosh. This is actually a funny story. So when I was 16, I was dating this guy, and it was kind of like the first – I don't know if he was ever really my boyfriend, but maybe I'll say my first boyfriend. Or the first guy that my parents knew about that I was actually seeing. And my dad's a doctor. And
what kind of doctor?
General practice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say abortion. That would have been so great if you're like abortion doctor.
A baby killer, yeah. I want to add that I was making a joke. I don't really think abortion doctors are baby killers.
That's why Zach can eat the fucking M&Ms that way.
I know.
Because he would have said baby killer. Yeah. And just never thought about it again.
Yeah. I know.
I'm the same way because God forbid I fucking look at Twitter tomorrow and they're like, you really think? And you're like, fuck, I was a joke.
I know.
I heard Janine Garofalo, I'm not about to stop you. I heard Janine Garofalo on a podcast the other day and she made a joke about Megan's Law.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Megan's Law when the kid gets kidnapped?
Or is that Amber?
Amber Alert.
Megan's Law, I think.
Megan's Law is not sleeping with kids or something.
I'm kidding. I forget, yeah.
An adult would know this. Amber Alert. She was talking about Amber Alert and how that Nancy Grace only likes white kids getting kidnapped. She goes, how come there's not a Tamika Alert? And I laughed, right? And then she went, I'm sorry if that's offensive to anyone. I was like, man, you got to get back on your game, MJG. She was funny as fucking shit. Still is. I just saw her recent hour and fucking floored me. She is great. She is fucking amazing, but that bothered me. I was like, just fucking say your joke. You weren't being mean. Right. Go back. You're at the gynecologist. You're 16. Yeah, yeah. Your dad 16, is not an abortion doctor.
So he general practice, but I think he my dad's older. He'd already retired at that point. This is what they told me. They're like, he's been out of the game for a while and doesn't know the latest on STDs and stuff like that. So they want me to go, like,
what was new other than AIDS?
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is suspicious. So they wanted me to go to Fritz. That's not what he went by, but that was his first name.
Did he know your dad?
Yeah, it was my mom. It was the guy who had delivered my sister. It was my mom's gynecologist, and it was, you know, someone my dad knew, worked with, or alongside, not literally. And they wanted me to just sit down with him and sort of have him tell me whatever I needed to know to stay safe or something.
Yeah.
And so I agree. I didn't really feel like I had a choice though. And by the way, I was a virgin at this point and I knew that I wasn't ready. I mean, I'd already had this discussion with the guy.
Yeah.
Where I'd said, I'm not ready and I don't know how long it's going to take for me to be ready and I may never be ready. I don't know if I actually said that to him, but.
Never say that to a guy. That's like,
no,
going,
I know.
You're never going to be able to afford this car.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well go to a different fucking parking lot.
Right. He wouldn't have stuck around anyway, though.
If I heard that when I was fucking 17, 16, yeah. I would have been like, all right, I tap out.
Right.
It's good talking to you, Allison. Let's talk to Jenny.
I know. I think that I,
by the way, I just used real names in my life. I dated a girl named Allison Williams when I was 16, and then I went to Jenny because Allison was like, said, I'm not ready.
That and wasn't the Allison Williams that's Brian Williams' daughter on Girls Now, right?
No. Okay. Now she's Allison. I don't know. I forgot her new last name, but I saw her recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing a book and I wrote an article. I'm really distracting for your story,
which is
more interesting than this.
No,
I'm writing
it's not.
A book about, and I'm one of the chapters I was covering was about losing my virginity, about this subject, particularly. And I saw her at my show at Tampa, and I said, oh, my God, I'm writing about you right now.
Oh, I bet
she knows
that?
There's only one period in her life that we shared, and she's like, oh, my. And then I realized her husband's next to her, and her face dropped, and she was like, what are you writing about? You know, I have three children. And I was like, oh, never mind. So keep going. So.
Okay, so anyway.
You go to Fritz.
So he said to me that. All these girls are coming in with warts on the back of their throat because you can get that from, like, he gave me the biggest load of what turned out to be shit and he also said, I remember, and this is a visual, so he's like, and also anal sex, and he put his finger up in the air and he wagged it back and forth, just don't do it. And I was like, anal sex? I'm not even ready to have vaginal sex. And he's like, now when you're ready to have sex, I want you to call me before you do anything. Call me, and then we'll put you on the pill.
And I'll talk you off the ledge?
Yeah. Well, he wanted me to go
Fritz,
on the pill.
It's Allison. It's prom. I need help.
I know.
What the fuck?
He's about to stick it in.
And we're thinking about anal. Yeah. And then you can see him, like, sit up in bed, put his glasses on. Give me a second. Nan, I've got to talk Allison off the ledge. He's about to have anal.
So he wanted to put me on the pill before I had anal sex. Put me on the pill before I had sex.
Oh,
and
God.
The whole thing, I was just like, afterwards, there were so many other things. And afterwards, I left just feeling like I felt like I'd been reduced to a 6-year-old. Like, I already wasn't ready to have sex, and now I can tack on another 10 years to when I'll be ready. Everything got so it's become so complicated. Like, I didn't want to have to include Fritz in my decision and the whole going on the pill thing. And it's like, I was going to practice safe sex by using a condom, and now he's made it seem like that's not good enough. And, the whole thing is just so horrible. But
dip it in bleach first and
definitely don't.
I would almost get fucked in the ass to spite him and be like, it's not that bad, Fritz. Like, how great would it be? How great would it be to have a time machine, go back to that day as you now, informed, and just fucking pick that sore when he goes anal? Don't do it. And you're like, hold on. But can I get pregnant from anal? And him be like, no. I said don't do it. And you're like, but am I still a virgin if I do anal? And him be like, wait. I already said don't do it. And you're like, I have some questions. Before we wipe it off the slate, let's talk it through.
See, that's the thing, is that he treated me like I was someone who would have acted that way as opposed to what I was, which was like a very timid, conscientious
kid. What kind
of
conversation did your dad have with the guys? Like,
well, that's the thing that I – oh. So anyway, here's the thing though. So fast forward – 5 years or I don't know how long, a long time after that, when I was with the guy who I lost my virginity to. I lost my virginity at 20 and a half.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I waited a while. So
God, instill that in my daughters?
Scare the shit out of them and make sure they're fat.
And make sure they're fat.
Fatten them up and then scare the shit out of them. So anyway, so I had some, like, I had a sore throat, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw, like, a couple white dots. I'm like, oh, no. So I went to Fritz, showed him, and he's like, oh, I don't know what that is. You have to go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And then now my doc, my gynecologist, who's nice and good and non-judgmental and not the dick that he was, is like, oh, yeah, the idea of warts in the back of the throat, this is what she said. It's a non-issue. I don't know if it exists or not, but it's a non-issue. I mean, I don't need to be worried about it. And this guy had scared the shit out of me about that. So this is one. I think there's a few things where with my parents, I feel like, what the fuck? This
Were you the youngest?
No, I'm the – well, okay. So I have older half-brothers from my dad's first marriage.
Okay.
My parents are still together, and I'm their oldest, and then I have a younger sister.
Okay.
I'm the first daughter, though. So – my mom concedes that maybe he misunderstood what they were asking. Like, I don't think they explicitly said to him, can you please scare the shit out of her and send her into therapy for a few more years? But I think that they'll admit that maybe he misunderstood. But then another one of my friends has put, like, a long time ago pointed out, but even if... like, even if he didn't misunderstand, it's still a weird thing to do. It's a weird thing.
Well, it's
weird
that it's weird. It's all I can do is I have this visual of you asking a pointed, accidental question, like a question that maybe your parents misconstrued, and then you walked out of the kitchen, and then your mom's like, "Oh, honey, what should we do?" And your dad goes, "I'll send her to the Iceman." And then he's like, "Fritz, I need you to
do the cooler."
I'll send her to the cooler.
Yeah.
But no, but you know, it's the other thing is like, I take it to the, I do a version of that to other people's teenage boys where, cause I have a distinct history in partying where I feel like sometimes I have created a legend for myself that, albeit accurate, no one can ever live up to. I mean, by all intents and purposes, I should be dead. I look back and I go, how the fuck did I do this? Like, I look back and I'm distinctly fucking shocked. And I go, it's going to come to a head one time. One day it's going to come to a head. I need to slow it down. And I've taken great strides in being more adult. But I see kids who are like, say stuff like, you know, are you really the real Van Wilder? Which is a stretch of a statement because it's like, there's no real Van Wilder. It was a fucking movie. But yes, in essence, it was based off of an article written on me. But, but of course, I'm not going to say that. I go, yeah, you got it, baby. But then I find myself saying stuff to kids that I want boys to know that losing your this race to lose your virginity is not a race anyone else is in. You're the only one in it. And if you get comfortable with the fact that you're still a virgin, you can be a virgin and then actually kind of enjoy the first time when you lose your virginity, as opposed to having a fucking horror story like I had.
What was your story?
Oh my God. Could not get worse. Literally, couldn't even put this in a fucking movie. No one would believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was 17 and I had gone from like chick to chick to chick. You can have a beer if you want one.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thank
okay.
You,
I went from chick to chick. Now it sounds like you opened a
beer. I know,
beer.
It does. You know what? I should have
farted.
If only my fart sounded like that, like an asteroid.
God, if I farted like that, I would fart all the fucking time.
Me too.
I got my ass waxed one time, like a full Brazilian, and I noticed the reason women don't fart is when you don't have hair down there, like it makes like a crap, crap. Like it makes a fart noise louder.
Wait.
But when you have hair, you can just...
I'm stuck with the idea that you think women don't fart.
I know women fart. My wife farts like a fucking beast. She farted during oral sex one time. You know what they call that? Commitment. When you take one on the chin for the team, now I'm doing a bit. But that's a fucking true story.
Wow.
True story.
What was her reaction, though?
I started crying.
Oh,
and I go, what the fuck are you crying?
So hard,
what are you crying for? I'm the one in the Hurt Locker. I go, what the fuck? And then she said, you're going to talk about this on stage.
And
I swear to God, I had never even thought. I kind of wanted you to meet her because she... is like you, very open, very honest, kind of very insightful. You're a good listener.
Uh-huh.
Like,
thank
I'm a
you.
Horrible fucking listener, as you can tell by my podcast.
No.
I feel like I bring people on here to interview me.
But that's part of the seamless, just conversational style. Yeah, I want to meet your wife.
Let's hear about the first time she lost her virginity. I don't even know that story. Hang
you think
on
she'll
second.
Be comfortable doing this?
She might be. Hold on
okay.
one second. Leah! All right, she might come out now. So, no, I was 17 and I had gone from like girl to girl to girl to desperately lose my virginity. I had a couple times where I came close, but nothing like, and I also didn't know what I was getting in for. Like, I think I thought it was going to be different than it was. I thought it was going to be like I've seen the movies, mm-hmm. you know, but it was not. It was just, it was, my heart was racing a lot more. I was a lot more nervous. It was different than just hooking up with a girl. Like, I had hooked up with girls so much, like just kissed them and felt them up and like done whatever. I wasn't even good at that. Like, I remember the first, this sounds aggressive to even share with another woman, but the first time what do you call this? I'm just going to let you call it that.
Well, my brain said finger bang, and yet yeah. I hate that word.
Yeah, well, I hate the word too. Yeah,
fingers inside a lady.
Yeah, finger a girl.
Right.
I was on the haunted ride at Disneyland. Yeah, where the so funny. Someone's got a great joke about that too. I don't have a joke about it, but I was on the haunted ride at Disneyland, and I did it. I put it in, but I didn't know you were supposed to like do anything with it.
Right.
I just put it in.
Was she wearing a skirt? How did this happen?
Loose pants.
Okay.
What is the fucking 80s?
Oh, right. All right.
You know, remember those pants that start at your waist?
Yeah.
And, I put it in and I left it there. I was taking her temperature. I didn't know that you're supposed to like do something with it.
Right.
So I just, and then I just stared at her like, pretty good, huh? I mean, it couldn't have been it was the creepiest fucking thing in the world, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. So like, I was bad there, but I had thought that sex would be something that naturally I just succeeded at.
Yes, I have had this problem of thinking that my first kiss was very like I was holding my lips taut and kind of like
you're eating like a lemon.
Yeah, like yes, like pursing them and then kind of like moving my lips back and forth like a fish or something.
Harder is better.
Yeah,
harder is better.
It was I remember thinking, well, this will just come naturally. It did not at all. I think I was so tense. I was so taut, you know. I was like my lips were like an asshole.
My first kiss, my lips were like an asshole. Wow. If you had told that to Fritz, he would have been like,
I know.
He would have been like, then definitely.
His head would have popped off.
That's a big no-no. We got throat warts and anal sacs in your mouth. Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
my first kiss was with Marie Koval. And she kissed me, I think. She kissed me.
Mm-hmm.
It was in her hall, in her like foyer, where, by her stairs, although it wasn't a foyer, it was like, but it was, that's what it would be called. And she kissed me, and I definitely fucking lost my mind. I was like, holy shit, I'm into this. Like, I'm into chicks. Like, I don't think I'd ever realized sexuality at that point. Uh-huh. I mean, I knew I like dated girls, but I didn't know there was shit you could do with them. And then when I kissed her, I remember my heart sank, and I could. Oh no. Oh my God. I know where my first kiss was. It wasn't there. That was my second kiss.
Oh.
My first kiss was in my bedroom. Oh shit. We were in my bedroom. Her parents, her mom was a principal of the school I went to. And my mom was a teacher,
uh-huh.
and our parents were over, and we were on my floor, and I guess we were wrestling or something. We were friends.
How old were you?
I was in seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
but we were on my floor and we were rolling around, and then she just stopped and kissed me, and I was like, "Fucking!" I remember that night. I could think about the moment, my heart would drop again.
Yes, I would have that. I remember those early moments, thinking about them and having a whole, like, feeling it all over my body.
Now I don't, like, now I think, I can think about things about my wife and get, and I'll get, like, I'll be like, yeah, like, but it's not like that. It's not like eighth grade when I go, or seventh grade when I go back to that. And then I kissed her, like, four times after that, and then I dated her, and, I was like, dude, I'm fucking into kissing. That's my shit. Fuck baseball. I just want to fucking kiss chicks. And then I lost my virginity in 17 to a beautiful fucking girl that I will remain nameless. But anyone that would fuck me, I fucking dreamboat in my opinion. So, I will just give you the very short story of it. I got the condom, and I got her totally naked. Then I took off like my pants to my ankles, mm-hmm. left my jacket on. I had like my Letterman jacket on. I had a fucking hat still on, like shoes laced up. I mean, I'm fucking real romantic here. I take the condom, I open up, and I never really looked at I'd never done a condom, mm-hmm. and I saw it was rolled up, and it just didn't make sense. I was like, what? Like when I thought of what a condom would look like, I swear to God, I just assumed it would be like out outstretched and then kind of folded like a shirt inside that packet because that's what it looked like.
Right. Yeah, because it's square.
Yeah. So I was like, I was like, oh, it'll be square. Like, and then I looked at it. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Do Did
I
just you unroll put it? It before?
So I unrolled it all the way.
Oh.
And I was like, well, that's really big. Like this, that I apparently got the wrong size. So then I rolled it up a little bit, like to like what I thought my size would be. Because I was thinking the whole time, I remember thinking my mom unrolls my socks like that. So then I went to slide it over, and as I went to push it over, it inflated because there was air trapped in there. And now I'm like, fuck, how do you? So I'm trying to squeeze the air out, but it's not. Now it just looks like I'm making balloon animals down. And then finally I just throw it away. Now she's still naked. So I throw my pants back on. I run out to my buddy, Hartley, and I'm like, hey, I need another condom. He's like, you're done already? I was like, fuck it. Long story. Give me another condom.
What did you say anything to her as this was going on?
She didn't say a word.
Okay.
She's just sitting there like naked, waiting for me to get ready, I guess.
Right.
I'm sure I should have been a lot smoother. So I go back in. Now it makes sense. Pinch reservoir tip, slide it down. Okay, now I'm getting it. I remember putting the condom on. I remember thinking it felt good. I was like, that felt pretty intense. Like, that was a bit. Like, I remember going, hello.
You're like, and there's more?
And there's. I was like, whoa, can't wait to see what the rest feels like. So I put it on, and I get it on, and then I get on top of her. And I swear to God, in real time, it was like one and then like a withdrawal and I'm done. I'm done. I remember the feeling was absolutely overwhelming, but I was caught up in all of it. I'm on top of a naked chick. Like it was the buildup and I was like, fuck. And then it was over. And I looked at her and she said to me, are you going to put it in?
Oh, and that's the part where it gets worse than you can imagine.
And my dick's between her butt cheek and the bed. I didn't even lose my virginity to her. I lost it to a mattress. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, like, I will save you from the rest of this horrific story. But suffice to say, I started then. I was already done. I'd already compromised the integrity of said second condom.
Right.
I've gone through two condoms. I haven't had sex with a chick yet. I'm tearing through a box of condoms, and I haven't even started.
Right. You should have just had Hartley give you a box.
Yeah, Hartley, fuck that guy. So, not fuck that guy, but fuck that guy. So, so then I had sex after I had already, like.
Wait, how could you? You were still.
I was 17. So
You get hard really fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was already still on. I was like, fuck yeah, man, I'm in. And then. But I'd already compromised, if that makes sense. I'd already compromised the condom. So it's like almost like, imagine if I can put it into analogy.
Fucking her with your jizz. Sorry.
Thank you, Allison. I'm glad you put it that way and not me. I was going to say it's like going on a hike. But before you go on the hike, you dunk your feet in the river.
Right.
And then you get your socks all nice and moist. And then you go, all right, guys, let's. It's not an enjoyable hike. No one wants to take that hike.
Right.
But that was how I technically lost it. And I was like, I remember still... It caused me so much fucking anxiety because I thought, like, what if I get her pregnant? I'm not ready for a fucking kid. I'm 17. Mm-hmm. And I definitely thought, what if I get AIDS? Because I remember I believed you could get AIDS by wearing a condom with a virgin. Like that was totally in the wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I took a pregnancy test every time I had sex.
Seriously?
For the longest time.
But Do you have anxiety now?
Not like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm a person who worries too much about things.
Think about
but
the opposite.
Not like that, but not think like
about,
back then.
Think about the opposite of that. You took a pregnancy test every time after you had sex.
Then protected sex.
Yeah. Then there are women that have a baby inside them for like 6 months and don't even know they're pregnant.
I know.
What kind of laissez-faire attitude do they have towards life?
Yeah.
Where they go.
And towards their period. Like, how often are you not getting it?
Like, seriously?
Right.
Where the fuck? That blows me away. I was like you. I definitely thought anytime there was, every month I was nervous. When a girl said she got a period, I got excited. I was like, fuck yes, there's a God.
I even took, I've never told anyone this. I took the morning after pill. A few times, even when I'd had sex with a condom, if I would, because I was always worried about that thing that I don't even think exists, even though you read that it exists. And if there's anyone, let me finish the sentence and then say what I'm trying to say. The idea that you can get pregnant from pre-ejaculate, pre-cum. Is there anyone who has actually gotten pregnant that way? I don't know of anyone, but I was always so, I would be like, Did the penis come like within a 5-foot radius of me before there was a condom on it? Did I'll just take the morning after pill to be super safe?
Jesus, no. Let me tell you something. I straight up blew loads of my wife for like 6 months, and we couldn't get pregnant.
Well,
so I was like,
that is the irony, is that I, I'll probably start trying to get pregnant like relatively. I don't know, maybe. Hopefully at some point this year, I'd say. I don't know for sure. And I think it's probably going to take me a while, and then it'll be like, I've spent so much of my life making sure I don't get pregnant, and the irony will be if I can't get pregnant.
Yeah. That is irony.
Mm-hmm.
Is that irony, or is that just – that is irony, right?
I think that – yeah. It's ironic that I don't know.
You definitely will have a hard time getting pregnant because you're white. That is like white people.
Well, I'm also 37.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, when I say that, like, I remember hearing one of my black friends was making fun of the fact that white people have a hard time getting pregnant. He was like making fun of him, and I was like, that is the majority of my friends.
Yeah,
the majority of my friends are like have a hard time getting pregnant. It's just.
That's why you see there's so many twins now, because people are doing the
in vitro or the. Yeah, all our friends have twins, and it's because they do the you can spin it. You can pick if you want a boy.
Right.
That, which kind of, I can't do. If God gave me two girls, I'm cool with two girls. I definitely, it changed who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I talked about this and then had an anxiety attack because I talked about it. Because I was like, I don't want people to misconstrue what I said.
Mm, but I can relate to that, yeah.
I have had to make big changes in my life style in that I don't wear underwear regularly. Like, mm-hmm. When I wear pants, I don't wear underwear. But for the longest time, when I slept, I didn't wear, I just slept naked. But it got to a point where my daughters were of the age where I couldn't just be a naked dude in the house.
Yeah.
Like, that was not cool. And I started having to wear underwear everywhere. And then I started to have to, like, change in my closet because I don't want them to walk in on me naked, and now I have to take shits with the door locked. Like, everyone else takes shits with the door wide open, but I've got to lock it like I'm a fecal freak. Like, it changes parts of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm cool with it because I don't want my daughters to be screwed up.
Right.
Like, the last time I talked about it, I kind of made a glancing like I can't walk around the house naked. Like, and I'm sure everyone heard it. Like, he just is shoving his dick in everyone's face. I'm not. I'm just a regular human being who's living in a house that's, you've seen
female
the size of my house.
With
female dominated. With dogs and cats and fucking someone comes. We have an aunt come over. You definitely put on underwear. But when you're in your own house, if you're going to walk to the bathroom to take a shower and the towels are over there, you're not going to like walk to go get a towel, then walk back to your room, then take your pants off, put the towel on, then walk over here.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to fucking walk and get the towel. But I
No, that's one of the things I hate the most about if I'm – it may sound like there's a ton of things I hate. But if I'm staying at my parents' house, because they live in Orange County and the Adam Carolla Show does shows down in Orange County. So oftentimes, just because of traffic and whatnot, I'll go down a little bit early and then I'll spend the night.
Yeah.
And – if I have to, and then we did like a series of shows down there. And if I have to stay there for a number of nights, I begin to get so agitated over having to, put my clothes back on in between the bathroom and the room I stay in. And I don't know why. I don't know why that.
No, it's because because you establish independence in a weird way. Your nudity defines your independence.
Right.
Because you all of a sudden, like, you become this. You know, like a college student or whatever, you get a job or you get your own place and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to sit on the couch in my underwear and watch TV.
Yeah.
And then you're like, and then I remember when I first started sleeping naked and I was like, this is a brand new freedom. Like, I just had never done it. And then I was like, I started getting drunk and passing out naked. I was like, and then I was like, this is in college. And I was like, fuck it, I sleep naked. I am that guy. I'm putting that stamp on that is my passport. I am a naked sleeper. And I was like, and then I stopped wearing underwear altogether, and I haven't owned underwear. My daughters and wife went out and bought me underwear, but they bought me like gay pool boy underwear with there's underwear with a chunk in the center.
A chunk.
It's got a pre-cut lump, so your junk would fall there.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to put it on to show you, but trust me when I say, when you see it, you're like, that's not straight guy underwear.
Mm.
It makes your junk look bigger.
Oh.
No woman really cares for that.
Was it a joke?
No, they just bought me underwear.
And they just, okay.
Or my daughters bought me underwear.
So it's got like padding, basically?
No, it's got like the way it's cut, There's,
it's like a little.
Have
sling.
You ever seen? Have you ever?
It's like a little sling for your jump.
Yeah, it's like a sling. It's like a. Okay. It's like an. It's like. It's just. I guess it's the underwear they sell in West Hollywood. And that's where my daughter's.
Well, there you go.
My daughter's got it at. Yeah. At a Target in West Hollywood, and it was like. And so they got it for me. They were like, Daddy doesn't have underwear. We should get him underwear. Mm-hmm. And not, this is well before I started wearing it.
Right.
Because I was like, I'm not wearing that shit. But yeah, but like, I've definitely gone through massive changes after having little girls. Mm-hmm. I've become a lot more of a feminist. Not that I'm a feminist per se, but I definitely get more defensive of women's.
Good. I feel like that's how it should be.
Yeah. 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 It should. It should. I don't know. I don't really have an argument, but I definitely like I like.
You obviously want a certain thing for your daughters.
Yeah. Well, I want equality. I think here's the one thing is I feel like it should almost be like a badge of honor of like if I say something that's somewhat misogynistic, mm-hmm. everyone should hear it. Like, don't worry, he has daughters. Like, yeah. he's not an asshole. But he's also a dude. Like, it's hard to be like.
And a comedian.
And a comedian. It's like, I stopped going to strip clubs on the road because I was like, I couldn't really hold both spaces in my head of being a father with two kids and a wife that I love and having somewhat, a very small, albeit, but somewhat of a public persona where someone might take a picture of me and then that shit gets out and then my kids might see that or my kids might come back to my kids
right.
that's what I'm doing. And I just couldn't hold both spaces in my head. And then looking at these girls and God, I mean, like, trust me when I say, I grew up in Tampa. I loved strip clubs. I loved that would like define me as a man. When I was 18, you went to a strip club. That was your christening.
Uh-huh.
And Tampa was the tits when it came to strip clubs. I'm talking, they had to put in laws into place in Tampa. Tampa was like the fucking, that was like where they started prohibition in strip clubs. So I wore that as a badge. I knew how to run. I knew I loved strip clubs, but man, I don't know. And then I look at these strippers and I'm like, that's just a chick that wants to have a cool conversation. She's a girl who wants respect.
Mm.
She wants to be, I'm dissecting strippers and everyone's going to be like, dude, they're just whores. No, she just wants you to like her.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to be famous. It's like porn stars. They just want to be famous. They just want to be like, they want to have something in their life that's special and different, just like anyone else.
Mm.
Just like you have. What you have in life is ultimately what a porn star was looking for. She just didn't have the words to express it. She just knew how to do it with her vagina. Does that make sense?
Yes,
does
it does.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's the same girls that let guys run trains on them. It's not because they're whores.
What does that mean? Run trains on them.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
No, we should. It's I feel like I should know.
Like if two guys have sex with a girl or three guys, they call it running a train.
Like in a row, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, not simultaneously though.
Sometimes simultaneously, yeah. I mean, I've never been in a train. I can't speak from. I don't even know many people that have ever been in a train. But I know for a fact that there are lots of dudes who have claimed to be in trains that have told me about trains. And I actually went to. I was in a situation one time where I felt like a train might start. Like I remember there was the energy was weird and I fucking called it off because I was like, I'm definitely not going to be a part of a train. That is not going to be in my biography.
Now, but is it called a train because people are kind of lined up, or do you know? I'm trying
to figure
out why it's called that.
I don't know. I come on, ride that train and ride it. Choo choo. Come on, ride that train.
That's what that's about.
I'm guessing.
God.
I'll tell you what. My two.
Educational.
I'm not going to say their names, but two of my good friends who are black were shocked that I'd never been in a train. They were like blown away. You never been on that? Come on, man. You never. And I used to make a joke about it. I called it. I was like, oh, we call it Leaky Submarine, where the girl's a panic submarine and where the panicky sailors are going to plug up all our holes. And they were like, oh, okay. And I was like, I'm joking. I remember, I'm not even going to say the person that was standing next to me.
Yeah.
Because, no, I'll say it. Amy Schumer was next to me. She thought that was the funniest fucking thing in the world. And she was like, did you just make that up? And I was like, yes. She goes, you got to tell that on stage. But like, yeah, I've never been in a train, but trains are something that's common. Like running a train on a girl. It's not common. What the fuck am I saying? Common.
No,
I've never done it, but I've heard of it.
Sometimes I feel like I'm not aware of so much of what actually goes on in the world.
Well, it would have been weird if you were like, oh, trains. Fuck yeah. College.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trains just don't do it. That's what Fritz would have said about that.
Fritz would have been like, and don't let dudes run trains on you in spring break. Listen, yeah. Let me tell you something. If a guy wants to put his finger in your mouth while they're making love, that's fine. That's fine. That's acceptable. No, no, trains are like, yeah, I don't know. How do we get on this conversation?
We were talking. You were talking. You were saying that porn stars want to do what I do, just they do it with their vagina.
Yeah.
And you were saying like the women who let guys run trains on them, and then I said, "What is that?"
Yeah, I mean, I respect porn stars for what everyone's got to make a living. You got to do what you got to do. But ultimately, if you could, I would venture to say that at the age of 18, when a woman decides to do porn, which I think is probably the coming out age, if you had just said to them, "Hey, would you like to host a talk show?"
Yeah.
And gave them the ability to do it, they'd all be like, fuck yeah.
I think so.
I don't want dudes running trains on me.
Right.
I would much rather be able to just be
myself.
Right.
And not have to have sex to be myself, I guess.
So once you know that and you go to a strip club, you're like, this woman just is trying to fucking make money. And then I'm not going to fucking overthink it. Mm-hmm. If I say that as a father of two daughters, I had a hard time going to strip clubs. I've been since. But I don't, like, do...
Right.
I don't get lap dances.
Well, because you're probably looking at them thinking that's someone's daughter.
Yeah. Right? I definitely do. And then one of my friends was like, well, just use it as research. Ask them about their dad, and then don't do the shit their dad did. Like, you know... Okay. So I was like, oh, good call. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that.
So how did you have your daughters?
Out of my wife's vagina.
Oh, that's how it works. Yeah. Okay. No, but I mean, you said that you... Was it hard for her to get pregnant?
No, it was, I really want my wife to come in for this. I'm going to call her right now and see if she comes out. The first one was on accident. We were dating. I hate telling people that too. I don't really share that often, but you're telling secrets. So I'm telling secrets. I've never not told it to anybody, but I hate saying it because then people go, oh, he got her knocked up. He had to marry her. And that's actually not it at all. I'd already bought the ring and I already knew I was going to ask her to marry me. And we were already living together. But she got pregnant in the time that during that time, and then I freaked out. I was like, "Oh fuck! Like, is this what I want?" Because then now it's like I'm thrust
real,
into it.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was really terrified she couldn't get pregnant. Hey Georgia, can you send mom to the man cave?
Well, we're making brownies right now.
But send mom to the man cave. Like, tell her I need her.
Okay.
All right.
Well, and, but daddy needs you right now. I told him we're making brownies, but.
No,
he's on the phone.
Okay, just tell her to come out when she can, okay, Georgia?
Hello?
Hey, can you come out to the man cave when you can?
I'm making brownies.
Oh, fucking no. Yeah, I know. But can you come out when you can?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, bye. Love you.
Bye-bye.
So, everyone's going to be like, what a great fucking wife. She really makes brownies. No, she, so we got pregnant, and then I got panicked, and then we got married, probably... We conceived September 11th. I only know that because the guy goes, I remember when we were doing the exams, he was like, do you guys want to know the date you guys conceived? I can tell you that. And I was like,
I didn't know they can tell you that.
Yeah, they can tell you.
Yeah.
Almost to a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he goes, September 11th. He found comedy in that, but I thought he was being accusatory, like, you should have been respecting the tragedy. Like, but it was like 2 years after, but it was, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then she got pregnant September 11th and then we got married December 27th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a 3 month period.
Now, was there a rush to get married before she started showing?
Yes.
Cause that's what that's something I think about. I think, well, at my age, do I really need to, you know, absolutely be married first, but it would just make it so there's like a timing issue.
There wasn't a rush if we didn't want to get married, but we wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we didn't want to have a wedding picture. Our choices were, we have the baby and get married after that, or we get married before the baby show, before the baby, Georgia, the person that just answered the fucking phone. We get married before Georgia, shows up. And I'd already had the ring and I want to say like a couple weeks after we found out she was pregnant, I asked her to marry me. So it wasn't like a, It was the real question is logistics of when the wedding was going to be.
Right.
Like the ring had been, I'd gone on the road. This is so specific. I'm going to say this and I'm sure the dates don't match up, but I'm telling you, this is pretty much how it went down. I got the ring. Then I went on tour for like 14 days with the guy I was touring with at the time. And we went on tour and we like, and then I ended up in New York during the blackout. And during the blackout, I realized I had a panic attack. So I thought the big New York blackout, I thought, what if we're about to die? My buddy Weecho, my best friend, since I was a kid, said, what are you so worried about? And I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to die. And he goes, yeah, but so what? And I was like, yeah. And then I said to him, I said, I always wanted to have kids. And he was like, huh, well, you just learned something about yourself, I guess. I was like, I guess I did. And he was like, is Leanne the one? And I was like, yeah. Yes, she is. I want to have kids with fucking Leanne. I definitely want to have kids with Leanne. And he was like, well, there you have it. And so I was like,
I'm getting chills. And so, I'm colder. This is a very moving story.
Well, then the next thing he said was, hey, I think they can't take credit cards. Let's fucking drink everything we can. Because they couldn't do credit cards. So we just kept ordering. And because he had worked at a restaurant. And so we drank a ton. We were like, we don't have any money. We have credit cards. So they were like, all right, Dad, let us go. So I got back. And then during that period, I realized I was a lot more lackadaisic with protection, because I was like, and right after that, I went down to Tampa and I was in the ocean with my dad. We were in chest high water, and my dad was like, what time do your heart out, by the way?
Oh, I don't have one.
Okay. Yeah. I was in the ocean with my dad, and I told him that. I told him that story, and he was like, so you want to marry her? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, well, let's get you a ring. And I was like, okay. So we went and shopped for rings, and I found a ring, and I'd already kind of.
Did you know what she liked in terms of jewelry?
Yes, I'd already known I'd already known I wanted to marry her before then. I don't think I had really taken the steps until the blackout happened. I was like, fuck, I need to marry this woman. So I had looked at rings and she had told me what she liked, and then I'd gotten a really good deal on a fucking ring. And so I was like a really good deal. So I was like, fucking buy it. I bought it, and my dad had it shipped. The week I went out on tour with my buddy that I was touring with, the ring was shipped to our house, and there was a koozie. They sent two beers koozies that said Heyman's Jewelers. Yeah. Like, no wonder I got a deal on the fucking ring.
I fucking
love you,
dream.
Allison. I love you so much.
I love you too.
And so the two beer koozies came, and I forgot to hide the fucking beer koozies. She goes, we got beer koozies from Heyman's Jewelers in Tampa? What the fuck is that? And I was like, do not look in the closet. So the ball was out of motion. Our option was, do we want to get married after the Georgia shows up or before she shows up? And our kind of thing was, she's from a Baptist family. Her dad's in there. You could barely understand the dude. And so we're like, let's do it before. So we got married in Bowden, Georgia. You could either drink or dance at our wedding. That's how Baptist they were.
Wow.
And I was like, drink. Stop me from dancing, motherfuckers. So, yeah.
Wait, why? Why?
You can't do both in a Baptist, in that Baptist community, because they believe that both leads to sin.
Wow. So you're only allowed one fun thing.
Yep.
One.
Drinking or dancing. And I picked drinking. I was who dances sober?
Right.
Who's going to be on the fucking,
I never realized. Is that like Baptist wise?
She's from a town of 1,200 people. So like, when we went into, we went and got our marriage license in, I can tell you the city, Carrollton, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did the one,
we farted.
No,
but you made that sound.
Not only did the woman we got our marriage license from know my wife, she had gone to high school together, but on the marriage certificate, license, whatever, the first question, name, second question, occupation, third question, I swear to you on my children's lives right now, are you blood relatives? I swear to God.
Does that fast track it if you are?
No, that's what I said. I said, what happens if I put yes?
Yeah.
The girl goes, nothing. I said, well, why do you have that question? Yeah. She goes, well, we just want to know if you is. And I was like,
oh my God.
I go, what if we is? She goes, that's just want to know. And I go, so what do I put for number three? And she goes, well, is you? I go, I don't think we is. She goes, well, then put that you ain't. I was like, I ain't going to put ain't, because that might mean that we is. But but yeah, those, like, that was, and our wedding was fucking beautiful. You know, she comes from a family of very kind of, no one's a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had a lake house, but they built it themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, it's very like, I'd say salt of the earth or humble, but like, no one's rich. No one flaunts it, you know, and no one flaunts anything. It's very like, so like our wedding was like, she paid for. And everyone came in and cooked meals and brought their meals and Like it was, and they did it like at the church that her grandfather owned, and they put like a carport, like closed in carport over the area that it was fucking great. It was so great.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah, it was really great. And I didn't get too drunk. I like paced myself drinking and it was one of the fucking coolest. It was great.
How long did it take you guys to plan that?
I didn't plan a thing. I didn't do anything. I just picked the drinking part. She did it all.
Yeah.
No, wait. Are you
so
see, if I were you, I'd stop using birth control now. If you know you want to get pregnant within a year, right?
Well, I don't know. I said that.
Is it? Are you sure? Are you with this guy?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, we're sure about each other. I threw out the year thing because we were talking about it, and I think he just like in this very like kind of a ginger way was like,
"Is he have red hair?"
No, I mean it like gingerly, but actually his hair is reddish. But no, I didn't mean as a ginger would. I don't know if it can, maybe I misused it actually. He gingerly was like, what is the timeline baby wise or whatever, you know, I think he just wanted to know like what I was thinking. And I said, well, ideally, you know, if we could start trying to get pregnant, I forget if I said start trying to get pregnant, you know, at some point this year, that would be good. But we're not engaged yet, but I know that we are going to be.
That would be a great shirt for you. Get busy getting pregnant or get busy dying. Allison Rosen is your new best friend.
See, maybe I should, except that the idea of like, what if I got pregnant?
What if you got pregnant tomorrow?
Then I don't want that to happen.
You don't want it tomorrow. You want it to happen in 9 months. Here's what I do. This is my two cents.
Okay.
It's going to take a while to get pregnant.
Yeah, maybe I should just bank on the fact that it's going to take a while and just start.
And
now,
if it doesn't, then it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you got to look at it. You know, when Leanne got pregnant, I definitely freaked out. But then I remember a good friend of mine, him and his wife had been married for a while, and they had taken their time and said, we want to have our relationship. We don't want to burden it with kids. We want to take our time. And they were a little older than me, maybe like 2 or 3 years older than me, 2 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good friends with Leanne. And then I became really good friends with them. And then during the time when we got pregnant, they had been trying for like a year. And the night we found out we were pregnant, we told them, and we were at their house drinking absinthe. And I told him, and he was like, man, we're fucking trying. It's just hard as shit. And then they kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. And then I'll tell you what I don't want to tell you. I'll tell you what he said, but he didn't say it. Like, I don't want to say it, that he said it accusatory towards his relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, it's really nice that you almost, like, go into this relationship knowing you can get pregnant. Because it's the whole pregnancy thing causes a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I found out how fast the car could go before I bought it. I was like, fuck yeah. Fuck. Like, you're so, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I know. That's an incredible stress on – because I actually know of a couple right now who's going through that. I don't know. My gynecologist said the good one. Said,
not Fritz. Oh, you should go see Fritz, see what he says.
Yeah, I think he might be dead.
Are you doing anal? I have him having like a Boris like accent.
I wish he had. He didn't, but he should have.
Yeah.
He was such a judgmental dick. Anyway, no. I mean, I think she said try for 6 months and then go to a fertility doctor.
We tried with Isla for, I don't know. I'll say 6 months. Leanne will be like, it was two. But we tried with Isla for a while because we were like, oh, we want to get pregnant again. And we tried and it didn't happen right away. We were like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then tried and then got pregnant. But I'll definitely remember that, you know, with Georgia's birth, when she cried for the first time in the hospital, I was like, I remember thinking to myself, will someone fucking get that? Like, this shouldn't be my responsibility. I was hoping my mom would just miraculously show up and just grab my daughter and take care of it for me, and then you know, have a baby. And then when Isla was born, we were in the hospital. I was in the same position on the cot at the foot of the bed. The baby was off to the right. Leanne was in the bed, and I heard Isla crying. All I remember thinking is, I can't believe I fucking did this again. I was like, son of a bitch. Now they're up and running, you know, 6 and 8, and it's like having two buddies.
They're so cute.
The fucking greatest. You know what I love about you is that I would never talk about this shit with very few. When I have friends, like when other comics come in, we talk about like fucking comedy clubs and black cocks and fucking. Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm talking like about emotional shit. But I think the emotional shit like is probably more interesting.
I mean, on my podcast, this is what I talk about with people a lot. And the reactions are always positive, and people always, I think there's a dearth of that kind of conversation in real life. And my thing is just that I feel like so many people pretend that they don't have any insecurities. So that therefore people who walk around second guessing things or feeling insecure feel like there's something wrong with them. And I think that's bullshit. I think all of us, I hope all of us have this side that is, you know, a little more tender and vulnerable. And I think that's why people like hearing people speak from that place.
I think so, too. I realized all my friends are just men with insecurities.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What are you doing? Dude, another thing about kids, their orthodontics is expensive as shit. Like, apparently, look at this. Right now, my daughters are coming to the window of the man, the door of the man cave, and they're making faces, which means the brownies are done. Oh. Leanne should show up in a second. Leanne's had a rough day. The dogs attacked each other.
Yeah,
we're fucking. She was at the hospital at the vet twice today. Just a nightmare. Dogs. You know, it's like when people go, "Oh, I know what it's like to have kids. I have dogs." And you're like, but it's got to be. There is a connection. There is somewhat of a connection when you care about something. Because I came home today and Priscilla was gone. Leanne had taken her to the vet. Because Mona's the rescue. Priscilla attacked Mona, and Mona was bleeding. So Leanne had to take Mona to the vet, and then they had to keep her for observation. Because they were like, you know, we just want to make sure she's totally fine. It was nothing major, but there was blood. So, and Priscilla's a 126-pound bull mastiff.
Jeez.
Mona's a 16-pound mutt. Mutt from the barrio, who only understands Spanish. So they were fighting over 7 pounds of pasta and a bone. Priscilla ate 7 pounds of pasta, and that now it's inflating in her stomach. Uh-huh. It's getting moisture, and so she's getting sick. So then all of a sudden, I came home from voiceover. I walked in, and Leanne's gone with Priscilla, and I was like, oh, fuck. They're all at the fucking vet. So I ran to the vet, panicked. I was like now both my dogs? Like, what are we going to do if we have no fucking dogs? So, but everyone's fine. Everyone's back. Everyone's resting. I'm sure right now there are thousands of people on their podcast or listening to this podcast going, thank God. Do you ever feel like you're being boring as shit on your podcast? Do you produce yours? Like, do you put thought into the interview?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, I try to do research ahead of time, but I sometimes find the best ones are just when I just let it go, you know. And the things that I like, there'll be episodes where after recording I'll think, oh, I don't know that was the strongest episode, and then I'll listen back and I'll be like, oh, I was wrong, or I'll just put it out. When I mean, I always listen back actually to choose the promo and stuff, but
you do promos for your podcast?
Yeah, we do little promos, and then because I'm part of, wait, are you part of a network, or do you just
no,
okay,
I just do it.
Yeah, we have promos that promos for my show go on the Adam Carolla show.
I also don't do advertising.
Oh, you don't?
No, I just figured. You know,
fans probably like that better.
I guess. I mean, I mean, not that they'd notice one way or the other, but like, I just kind of thought to myself, like, the thing I like about podcasting is that it seems to be free form. It seems to be intimate. And definitely not the second you put an ad in, because the second a podcast starts, the intimacy is there.
Right.
But I just kind of looked at it like, I don't know. It didn't seem like something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like I have to fucking make sure they're out every week. I don't want to, like, I don't, because I'm definitely a money hungry fucking dude. So, like, I want money. So the second I know I can make money from this, I start maybe putting out a weaker product to an extent. Now, not that I'm putting out a strong product, but right now, like, I'm doing this because I want to. Like, when you emailed me, I was like, fuck yeah, I will talk Allison's goddamn ear off until she fucking says, listen, I got to get pregnant. I'm out of here. but I just want it to be fun. I want it to be enjoyable, you know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I could see where you would feel like it does change.
Do you make a lot of money from podcasting?
You know, more than I thought I would.
Really?
It's actually, which is not, but I mean, maybe I had low expectations, but yeah, I'm happy to say that my podcast has been profitable.
Do you have do you get access to you're part of the network that is Adam's network, right? Ace?
Mm-hmm. Carolla Digital is Carolla what it's called now.
What's Ace? Yeah.
That was the former name.
Okay. Carolla Digital.
Yeah.
And then you guys have who in that posse?
It's the Adam Carolla podcast, my podcast, and then...
Come on in, Leanne.
Hi, I'm Allison. Nice to meet you.
Here, Leanne, hop on a mic. George, give us 2 seconds. We're talking grown-up stuff. Okay. So... Okay, Isla. So wait, hold on. So, so Allison's describing... Here, Leanne, talking to a mic, make sure it works.
Hello.
Talk into it?
I am.
Okay. So, Allison's a part of a large podcasting. It's you, Corolla. Large podcasting network. You, Corolla.
Larry Miller has a podcast.
Larry Miller, the actor?
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
Of course.
The guy from...
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No,
Larry. No, that's Larry.
That's Larry David.
That's
yeah.
Larry David. You're like, wow, Larry David's got a fucking podcast?
No.
He's from Beethoven.
But was he in that?
Of course, right?
The I haven't seen
bald,
Beethoven.
He's bald, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're thinking of him. Yes.
Larry Miller is in Beethoven.
Yeah.
So not the one with Amadeus, like Beethoven
right,
the dog.
No. Oh, I know. I pictured the dog, yeah. This has been happening to me lately, which is that things I totally know when I'm on a podcast, like, go outside, they just fall out of my brain.
Have you recently had a baby?
No.
No, she's talking about getting pregnant, though.
Oh. At so some point, when that's over, no brain.
Yeah. She's 37. And she said she wants to get pregnant within the year, but towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I think.
But she's afraid she's not going to be able to get pregnant. So what I said is just go off birth control and start now because it's probably going to take 6 months anyway.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Are you married?
No. See, I'm not married yet, though. But I'm living with my boyfriend. And but I mean, we do want to get married, though. So, I mean, I think that's the plan is to get married and then... And then start trying, but a little bit. I feel like, well, at my age, maybe
it's not your age.
Flip the order.
No, it's not your age. No, definitely flip the order. Just try to get pregnant. If you get pregnant, so what? You get fucking married. You already want to marry the guy. But it's not your age. People are getting pregnant a lot later. A lot later. There was a woman. There was a woman that got pregnant when she was 72. I read the other day.
Oh, shut up!
How do you know that I'm lying? Why can't you just go with it? And just people. No one's going to Google that shit, Leanne. Just let it fly out there, okay? Let's take it from the top, and we'll do that, and I'll edit that one out. So we were talking about – here's the reason we brought you in, Leanne. We were talking about losing our virginity, and I don't think I've ever heard your story.
Oh, but mine's really boring. It was actually very sweet and very loving.
Well, that's good because mine was not any of that, and it sounds like yours wasn't either. So.
No, but by the way –
mine was very sweet. Mine was very, like, storybook, super sweet.
Really?
Really sweet guy. Yeah, he's married to the girl he dated after me. They've been married since right out of high school. They have a bunch of he's just a super sweet guy.
Fucking not
really,
what I wanted
really
to hear.
Sweet.
Well, walk us through it.
Well, I mean, I don't really remember. Like, and then he.
No, don't walk me through the physical.
Okay, good.
He started licking my breast.
Oh, good.
No, walk me through. Like, where were you? What did it happen in a car?
I don't know that you want to know this, Bert, because you may know the place this happened.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't want to fucking
exactly.
know that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't want to know. Oh, son of a bitch. Why did I ask?
One of us is jealous and the other one is not.
Right.
Can you tell?
I'm gonna guess it's him.
Yeah, I'm distinctly a jealous person. I do not like
knowing
this
shit. Wait, do you know who the person is?
No, I don't even want to know. Now that I brought this up, I think I fucking opened a can of worms. I don't want to know.
Exactly.
No, I don't want to know at all. Do I know the person?
No.
I've never met him, right?
No, you never met him.
I've heard his name.
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, he still lives in Bowden. There's no way we'll ever.
And then, podcasts have definitely not hit Bowden yet. I think there's still
I don't think DVDs have hit Bowden yet.
No, I think we're a solid 10 years off of
totally.
Podcasting. 10 years from now, some dude's going to be sitting in his car going, so this is a podcast. And then click and go, what? She's talking about me. That was me.
I don't think it'll ever happen for him. No, never.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I didn't mean to take you away from... Now I really don't want to hear the story.
I knew, yeah.
Is there anything you want to ask her, Allison, now that you know me?
Before you asked me to come out here.
Yeah,
hey, do you mind telling your virginity story? I would have said, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, I wish
I had. It doesn't bother me. It would bother you.
Does it bother you if I tell you my story?
I know your story.
It was beautiful.
I know all your stories.
It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. It was on a white satin bed.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
All right, you can go back to the girls.
Here's
go ahead.
What I want to know. This underwear that you bought Bert that he was trying to explain to me.
The one with the bulbous? The only fucking underwear I own, Leanne.
Oh, I didn't buy that. Isla did.
George and Isla.
My daughters picked it out because of the color. They're like bright purple and
can you
red.
Can you describe the
they're
underwear?
They're called Evolve. I guess they're from Target.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a pucker.
But it's the Target.
Like a penis pucker.
It's the Target on Santa Monica and La Brea. So it's West Hollywood Target.
Right. But I think Target's kind of Target.
No.
No.
No? Let me no. I this is a theory I have. Correct me if I'm wrong. Target, their extra larges are, in fact, double XLs. Because they
I don't know, but that seems like something
in, especially like in like Colorado and like the Midwest, they think about it. They know that people are larger in those areas. So what mm-hmm. there's a theory that what they do is they make their hold on just like Lane Bryant. You think Lane Bryant? Do you think they make their six a six? No, they make it a fucking eight so that you can buy a six and you go, wow, I'm looking. This is a six, and then you buy it. That they have to do it that way, right?
A. Someone either has too much time on his hands, or B, someone has struggled with weight loss for last couple years, maybe.
Oh, hold on.
He's trying to make himself feel better.
No, Target. I don't fit. I wear a Target large now, right?
That's, bullshit.
No, I swear to God. Leanne, I swear to God. I wear a Target large, but if you put me in Gap, it's XL. Banana Republic, XL. Target, large. Gap, before that, I was like a double XL in Gap. I go to Target and I wear an XL and I was
yeah,
like...
but you've lost 40 pounds.
No, but I'm saying that...
Hi.
I'm telling you. Do you... Okay. This is fucking... This is going to carry into dinner. I'm telling you. Does it make sense what I'm saying? That Lane Bryant... Isn't that the store?
Yeah.
Lane Bryant makes clothes for overweight women.
Right. What you're saying is that when the clientele tends to be overweight, the store might
Fudge.
Fudge their size. Yeah. Skew their sizing to... flatter or to be more palatable to the clientele.
Right. Do you think Lane Bryant's eight is it? I bet they don't even have real sizes.
I don't know what they have. Yeah, but I don't think they carry six or eights though.
She brought up a great point. She was saying, Allison was saying, Leanne, earlier, she was like, I was like, how do I keep my daughters virgins? And she was like, well, get them fat and then they'll always be virgins. She was saying,
well,
she
because
was overweight.
I was overweight and I was a real late bloomer.
Which is such a genius idea, by the way, to just. Get that stock, right? And sit on that stock. Fat these kids up. Get them fat. Keep them virgins through high school, right? Everyone loves a girl that got skinny. Like, when you said I was overweight, I went, shut up! It's such a mind fuck. Do you remember the girls that lost weight in high school? And they all of a sudden they showed up ninth grade and they looked hot as shit. And everyone's like, what happened to Shannon? And you're like, and they're like, she lost weight over the summer. And you're like, holy shit, she's smoke. She's hot as shit. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Fucking, this is why I don't do a podcast with my wife. All right, Leanne.
Shut up.
She does not find me interesting, does not find me funny.
I do.
I'm sure she does.
I do.
The first time she ever saw me do stand-up, you know what she said to me?
What?
I thought you were smarter than that.
But then you became smarter on stage. So actually, okay. It was
how
really
did you guys
advice.
Meet? I know that, I think you told me the story on my podcast, but I'm forgetting now.
Bowling. We were
oh,
at a bowling.
But you didn't tell me.
I'm sure I probably told you a version, but we were... It was at a. We had met a couple times before.
I have no memory of those couple of times.
I'd seen her a couple times before. She
Do you
used
have
to,
mutual friends? Is that how
we yes. did? Okay. Yes, yes. The she was writer writing with a writer part writing partner who their office where they wrote was right at the entrance of Runyon.
Mm-hmm.
She the one girl was a building manager for one of those apartments, so they would write in that office. And so we'd walk by there, and I walked by one time, and I was like, "Holy shit, she's hot as shit." My buddy Lorenzo was like. Oh, let's go meet him. I know her. And so they walked in. Leanne was such a bitch.
I was in the middle of a writing session. So they were interrupting. And Bert wasn't, but his friend Lorenzo is very chatty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, get out. Right. We're in the middle of writing. So I was really annoyed.
So then, and then the next time I saw her was at a yoga class. And I sweat pretty bad. And I was sweating so bad that puddles were forming around my hands and on the thing. And I don't know if she thought it was disgusting or
I thought it was funny.
She thought it was funny
that a human would sweat that much.
Yeah,
was pretty amazing. I did remember that, but I didn't remember that was him. I didn't put the two and two. And then we met.
And mind you, during this time, I'm actually losing weight. This is when I was telling you. I think we talked about this. I was doing spin class like twice a day, and
mm-hmm,
I was and I dropped down to like 186. Then I look hot. We go to this bowling night where I want to say like one of her friends had set it up, and there was a bunch of girls and a bunch of guys, and then married couples,
mm-hmm.
and the single people all bowled together. and she was there, and I was like, Lorenzo, that's the chick. And now I look hot as fuck. And Leanne's like, and Leanne's getting older. Her uterus is like, jump, jump, jump. So
that's exactly what was going on.
Exactly. She's, right. No, she definitely was like, I want a piece of that. And so
that's exactly what was going
something
on.
Something to
exactly.
the effect of that. Yeah, you were into me. You were definitely into me.
Totally.
That, anyway, that's how we met. So we met at a bowling alley the first time, but I'd met her twice before.
Now, would you like my
what's your version of it?
Good, good. We all went bowling. That's right.
Yes.
His friend Lorenzo, who was with him, interrupting us in our writing session.
Right. Chatty Lorenzo.
Yes. I was good friends with by this time. And we were bowling, and I was like, this guy's really fun. He's really funny, but he's not somebody you stay with. He's like two dates max, and then we'll be friends forever because we get along great. So
now, mind you, I heard that as Sex in the City whore. Two dates, bang, that. Bang. I'll fuck him twice, and I'll tell stories about him.
That's not the way it was at all. Okay, tell Papa Jay to take him out of the oven. So I said to Lorenzo, give Bert my phone number. Because he would be fun to hang out with. And then Bert never called me. So
I
called Lorenzo and was like, did you give Bert my phone number? He said, yes, I did. I was like, well, why hasn't he called me? Yeah. And Lorenzo said, I don't know, ask him, and handed Bert the
phone. I walked in the door at that moment, and he's like, here's that girl that, you know, that wants
that
you.
That girl, yeah. And I said, why haven't you called me?
But Lorenzo wanted to have sex with her, too. So Lorenzo goes, so we set up a date, and then Lorenzo sent us to a gay bar for dinner. I was like, do you know a good place to take her? And he goes, oh, I got a great place. And he sent us to a gay bar.
It was a gay bar.
Yeah. We saw Eddie Izzard that night. Not that he's gay, but we definitely saw Eddie Izzard that night. So,
So I asked Bert why he hadn't called me, and his response was, for like 10 minutes.
Well, why hadn't you called her?
I have intimacy issues. I have a problem with like, the same reason I never reached out to you to, I was, I'm like, well, she's just going to reject me. I'd rather not be rejected and not, it's whatever the fuck's wrong with me. It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. So Allison, to do this, emailed me and said, I'm listening to your podcast. I love it. I would love to do your podcast. And I was like, fuck yes. I would fucking love for you too. But same reason, exact same reason. Yes, Isla Grace. You almost threw up.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll head back in. Pris is in here.
I'm coming in, okay?
Pris, hop out. Isla, open the door. Come on. Isla, open the door. This is... Yeah, I saw what happened to Mona. All right, shut the door. All right, we should probably wrap this up at some point.
Yes.
Allison, how did we end our last podcast?
Well, I have those segments that I do.
I don't
online.
Have any segments.
Those are usually the end ones.
I don't have any segments.
You have great hair.
Oh my gosh.
Really pretty.
This old hair?
That old hair, I love
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
So pretty.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I think you have beautiful hair.
Okay.
Shucks. And your hair's awesome, Bert.
My hair is...
It's fantastic.
I've been using Rogaine since I was 20.
It's very
Jesus funny. Christ.
Okay, I gotta go deal with
you gotta
Brownie
go.
Pop.
All right,
it was nice
love you,
meeting
babe.
You.
Love you. Love you.
Nice meeting you. All right.
I'll see you on the way out.
Okay.
Hey, will you keep Pris inside, too? Do you like being a part of a podcast network?
Yeah.
Not that you'd ever say you wouldn't.
Right.
Like, but
I wouldn't ever say I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Although I can, like, I own my show, so I can walk if I want at any point. That was kind of like the, I remember a conversation Adam and I had, and he's like, you know, I have no interest in keeping someone where
who
they don't
want
to be. So, you know, if you at any point, blah, blah, blah. So I know that it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like the firm.
What's the future of the podcasting? You seem to be in the Starship Enterprise of podcasting. What's the future of podcasting?
Having podcasts be, I think, automatic in cars. That's not the word for it.
So
but
fucking long from now, though.
Isn't there some fleet of cars where it's going to be like already there? iTunes is going to be in the car already, and then I think people. Well, so we're streaming live now, one day a week. This company comes in and they do like a live streaming.
Rogan
video
does that
version.
With
yeah.
his. It's really yes. kind of it's fun to watch. It's like watching Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun to watch, and I don't know why. I quite honestly, I watch Artie and Nick and mm-hmm. and on whatever DirecTVs.
DirecTV or whatever.
Yeah, no, but they have a live. They stream their show live, not live. They tape it, but it's a fun show to watch. You sit on the treadmill, just walking. You know, like because I broke my ribs, so like I'll walk on the treadmill and I'll watch it. It's a great show, Dan Patrick's show. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know why Adam or Joe's show isn't on there,
right?
Because they're fun as shit to watch. There's totally. I mean, maybe Artie and theirs is edited. Is there stuff you can't say on yours?
No, we can say whatever.
You can say whatever. There's no one has any restrictions.
Mm-mm.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's the future of podcasting, and you are Sacagawea.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the future is. So can I just tell you, though, something going back to the thing we were talking about at the very beginning?
Yes.
With the whole, you asked, or we were talking about if we ever search, like, the thing that we wouldn't want someone to say.
Yeah.
So I had searched Alison Rosen fat to see if anyone was, because that, I was always waiting. I'm like, it's just a matter of time before people start calling me fat. And I,
why do you say that? You're not fat.
Thank you.
But even if you were,
because I spent so much of, because honestly, it's probably like body dysmorphia would be actually what it is. Like, I just don't have a realistic sense at all of what and who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think also for a long time, I tried to hide the fact that I used to be fat.
Oh, own that shit.
I know. Well, now I do. I realize that's the easiest. But it would be like if I was with...
I used to be gay in college. No, I'm kidding.
Same. No. If I was with a guy that I... Like, if I was on a date or something and I ran into someone I knew, and if they ever said, like, you look great, or, like, you've lost weight, I would feel like, ugh. Like, oh, I don't want him to know what I used to be like or whatever.
Really?
I went through a phase where I felt that way.
Yeah.
I don't at all anymore, though. But so anyway, this was at the time, though, where I think just at the beginning, maybe when I started on the Adam Carolla show, and all of a sudden there were more people talking about me online. I was like, is this what they're saying? I bet this is what they're saying. And I was like, they aren't saying that. This now I talk pretty openly about this being something that is one of my issues, though. But so anyway, David Alan Greer came on the show. Recently on the Adam Carolla show, and I'm trying to remember how it came up, but something about like food issues, blah blah blah, and then Adam was like, "Yeah, she used to be fat," and he's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Look at you," he's like, "You're not that fat," but the way it came out was so like that those were the words. You're not that fat. And I was like, I'm not that fat. And so then it turned into this funny thing where he was trying to backpedal kind of.
Yeah.
But he definitely said, you're not that fat. And then he's like, was like wanting to, he's like, let me check you out. And
that's so funny.
It was funny though. Like it was really funny. But now people all over the place are making like on videos or on Facebook or Twitter, the comment is, you're not that fat. Like I was joking yesterday on my tombstone, it's going to say Alison Rosen, she wasn't that fat. Cause now everyone, it's because
you don't have any control over that either. Uh-uh. What they put on your tombstone. God forbid.
I can blow in a request. So, but it's taken on a life of its own. That is what everyone is saying about me now. She's not that fat. But people who don't know what we're talking about, I feel like if they're just looking at comments, they're just going to be like, what, you know? So
yeah.
Point is, now I have a feeling if I were to search it, it would be all over the place.
No, you're not that fat. No, I know what you're saying though, because I definitely like that body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
I will always, and I still have a double chin, but I won't shave my beard because I'm terrified of what I look like without a beard. Because even though I've lost weight, I know that my face is still a fat fucking face. And I remember my dad, God. I have a host of issues with my dad, but just base issues, nothing bad. He wasn't a bad dad. He was a great dad, but he definitely, there was a sensitivity level that he just lacked.
Yeah.
And like I'd grown a beard and I felt like I looked good. And we were in Vegas, me and my whole family and my sisters, my dad, my mom, my kids, my wife. And he was like, buddy, please, please. The art of shaving is right across the hall. Let's me and you go in there and get clean shaven. Please, please do it for me. Please. And I was like, okay. In my head, I was like, I'll do it for him. Because I had been partying that weekend in Vegas. I know I was driving him nuts because he gets very nervous about, like, if I drink late, he keeps him up. So I went in to get shaved with my dad. And I go in, I get clean shaved. And I come out and he sees me. He goes, "Oh, you should have kept the beard."
Oh my
God. And I was like, "Motherfucker." I was like, "Do you not know how to talk to a person?"
Yeah, right? Wow.
I remember I had long hair in high school and I got a, and he wanted me to cut it so bad. He hated my long hair. I hated it. And I shaved, I got a flat top. Everyone on the baseball team got a flat top. Mm-hmm. I thought it actually looked pretty good. And, I walked into, his office with a flat top and he looked up and he went, I don't like it. Oh. And I went, okay. Like just little things like that. Like he just didn't know how to address subtle, like, when Leanne was pregnant with Georgia, we had like 2 months until Georgia. I've definitely talked about this before, but we had like 2 months until Georgia was born. I took 2 months off to be there in case Georgia was born, and mm-hmm. I wasn't making that much money. But then I found out right before the 2 months that I'd actually run out of money, that all this money that I'd had from TV had kind of run. I needed to pay taxes, and I didn't have the money I thought I was going to have. And I called my dad, and I was in a moment of panic, and I was like, fucking, as a man to another man, I'm like, Dad, I don't know what to say, but I'm fucking broke. And he started laughing hysterically and hung up.
Oh, my God.
And then I went, what the fuck? And then he called back, still laughing. And he goes, now you know what it feels like to be a man. And hung up again. And I was like, I called him back. I go, stop fucking hanging up on me.
Yeah.
He goes, now you know how I felt my entire fucking life. He goes, it's terrifying, isn't it? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, own it. This is what men feel like. He goes, maybe you'll have, because he always felt like I'd never had respect for what it was to be the dude who picked up trash.
Right.
And he goes, that's what that guy feels like every fucking night. That's what the guy that you see that maybe you don't pay attention to, that's loading groceries in the back of a fucking warehouse or putting pallets, making pallets. He goes, you never see that man. Because you're just too fucking self-absorbed. Now when you see that man, you'll see him differently. You go, that's just a dude trying to pay for shit. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and you'll have more respect for men. He's like, welcome. This is what it's like to be a man. And I was like,
That was not what you were looking for, is it?
No, I was looking for money.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, how about fucking a solid 10 grand so I don't have to worry about this
right.
shit? And he was like, no, you're a man now. And he was like, this is the price to be a man. Those lessons, though, like my uncle is still very successful in D.C., and I wanted, when I graduated college, I wanted him to just give me a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no. He was like, nope, I'm not going to help you at all. And I was like, what a fucking dick in my head.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, if you want to start stand-up, do stand-up, and call me in like 3 months. I called 3 months, nothing. Called another 3 months, nothing. Wouldn't help, nothing. Wouldn't get me an interview, wouldn't help me with a contact, nothing. And now I look back, I'm like, thank fucking God, because I would have taken that handout.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, not that I'm a millionaire, but I'm very happy. So, how do we wrap this up?
I don't know. Let's see. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you, Allison.
Look, I'm just wrapping up your show for you.
Yeah, please. You're the professional.
People can find me on Twitter at Allison Rosen, or you can find my website, which is AllisonRosen.com. And my show, Allison Rosen's Junior Best Friend, comes out Mondays and Thursdays.
You do two a week?
Well, here's what I've been doing. My stuff tends to run long because, you know, I'm wordy like this.
Oh, this wasn't that long. I thought this was long. It's not that long.
Oh, good. Okay.
Only an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, well, there you go. So I take the longer ones and I break them into two parts. And then I do a thing at the beginning where I do that fan phone call segment or some other segments. So I don't actually say that I'm twice a week.
What's the shortest interview you've ever had with a person?
An hour and a half.
Really? Have you ever been into an interview and like, this isn't going good, I want to just wrap it up?
Actually, I have had that thought sometimes, but I don't. I stick with it. I'm so not saying.
Will you tell me after?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's.
I just want to know not to have them on my podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's different. It's like there are certain people who come onto my show and I realize pretty early on, oh, they don't want to talk about
personal
stuff or things that are like real and happening, and so this is just going to be a difficult interview.
Do you have people that come on and try to do bits?
I don't even have a problem with that. Like, yeah. If it's funny, that's cool. I love that. If someone wants to perform, that's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, something where it's like, oh, I'm going to have to work for it to get anything out of them.
Yeah.
But you know, and I'm trying to think who it was at this point. I'm trying to think if there's been anyone where I've been like, ugh. I don't know. I mean, what about you?
I've only had a few podcasts, and I only really have friends on. So,
yeah.
Like, for me, it just stinks because my friends don't want to do it over and over again, and that's all I really want to talk to.
Right.
Are my friends. So, like, going out of my comfort zone with guests, I'm just recently started doing that, where it's, like, people I maybe don't know very well, or I just know a little bit, or I know their work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I take that back. Maj Jobrani and I have only hung out a few times, but we got along really quickly. I was like, dude, you should do my podcast. Cause I was like, I can talk to you.
I think you should feel more comfortable just emailing people and asking, because I think that more people than you think will want to do it.
Maybe I'll do that. What about any tips for me as a host? You've been hosting for a long time. Is it clear that I talk way more than the fucking guest?
Well, I didn't feel that way, but I think first of all, here's the thing. Here's a tip as someone who hosts a podcast. The listeners want to hear you.
Oh,
you're
good.
The constant
good.
Every week, you know?
I like that.
They want to hear from the guests too, but I don't think that you should feel bad about talking a lot, because I think they're learning more about you, and I think they like that. So I say just do what you're doing, because your podcast is doing really well.
Thank you. You're the best.
I've noticed in the charts you were doing very well.
I don't even look at the charts.
Well, yeah, don't.
It's only based on when your thing was released. It's not like there are the real people who are up there, and then there are the people who just got a new one. So that was
That's
me for
true.
A long time.
But I think you're still solidly in there.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Allison. Thank you so much for emailing
me.
I'm glad you. I have a machine shirt up there if you want one.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you have
I don't have a machine shirt.
Well, I got them up there for you.
Thank you.
That's it. Allison Rosen, you are my new best friend.
Thank you.
Do you like how I tagged that?
I like it.
The music's already playing.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.